You know, I've always just said about myself that I, Pastor Leo, is just a simple country preacher, and I usually preach very simple messages, and I don't usually talk prophetically about the future and what the future is going to bring, but with everything that is going on in the world around us with the events, I thought that it might be interesting to you folks if I would touch on that just a little bit for us today. We are seeing so many things that are coming together in the Middle East and all taking place at the same time. And for so many times that we have said in the past is keep your eye and keep your eyes on Israel and what is taking place over there. And we see so many things that is taking place over there today. We turn first to 2 Thessalonians. We're gonna turn there, and eventually we're going to leave it very quickly, but we're going to come back to it later today. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled." We, above all other things, in our walk that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, we should not be soon shaken, and we should not be troubled by the events that we see going on around the world, that is all over the world, and what is taking place around us. We today are children of the Most High God. And I've told the kids over in school, there's one thing that's a theme from the beginning of this book until the very end, is that it's going to be okay. That we are in the palm of God's hand. Nobody can pluck us out, the Lord Jesus says, and we have nothing to worry about. So we should not be troubled. We should not be soon shaken. He says, "In mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." And I believe today we see a great falling away from the Word of God. We've already seen those things that are taking place. Another portion of Scripture, it talks about lawlessness. Already we're seeing lawlessness that is growing, especially in the United States, and we know that it's already been in other places. But he says that unless there is a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the man of sin and the son of perdition that he's talking about here in the Scripture is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. To give you a little bit of background information before we get into the sermon, I could talk about this all day. We know that the adversary and one-third of the angels was cast out of heaven. You can look at that, and I believe in Revelation chapter 12, but we won't take time to go there. But he still has limited access to heaven. And we see the limited access that he has with the dealing of Job. When God says, "Do you consider my son Job, who is a righteous man who hates evil?" What did the adversary say? He said, "He only does that because you love him and you bless him." And the Lord allowed him to bring a test and to bring temptation against Job. So we know that he still has access. He has limited access to heaven. We see here that in the Scripture, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's okay, that when you look at this, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There will be a rebuilt temple in the nation of Israel, in Jerusalem. So that temple has not been built, but they already have furnishings. They already have so many things that are already put in place to rebuild that. When that temple is rebuilt, they will have everything to furnish that in that temple. During the period of tribulation, that temple will be rebuilt. But we see that something is going to happen. The Antichrist is going to set himself up as to be worshipped in the temple. That's the abomination of desolation. When the abomination of desolation takes place, and when you look at it in the book of Matthew, the Scripture says, "Run for the hills when you see this take place." When the abomination, when he sets himself up to be worshipped as God in the temple of God, we see that then that we are going to have great tribulation. The first 3.5 years of tribulation going in is going to look fairly peaceful. And we're going to look at that scripture in a little bit. But 3.5 years into the tribulation, the abomination of desolation is going to take place. Then Satan is cast completely out of heaven, never to return again. And he is going to bring wrath, and it will be great wrath to this earth. All these things that we are looking for in the future, when we look at the prophetic calendar, that the rapture of the church is the next thing to happen. Nothing else needs to happen. We as the children of God will no longer be on this earth. We will be caught up and caught away, as it says in Thessalonians. I want to start today because there's a specific incident. I tore up I don't know how many sheets of paper this morning because there were so many things I wanted to talk to you about. But this is one thing that I wanted to talk to you about today because I see it unfolding in the Middle East today. I want you to turn with me to Daniel in chapter 8 in your Bibles today. We're going to come back to Thessalonians later on. I've got a lot of scripture to share with you, and I'll try to move quickly. But if you go to Daniel chapter 8, this is what it says in verse 23. So Daniel 8 and verse 23. It says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise. This king is the Antichrist. Having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Well, who's his power? Satan is his power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. The rise in power we see here is that of the Antichrist. Verse 25, when you look at verse 25, it says, through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. It's telling us in this scripture a time there will be, it will be deceptive because it will be a time of peace. On the front end, it looks like this is the guy that is a ruler of all rulers because he has brought peace and tranquility all over the world. When you look at verse 27 of Daniel 9, this is what it says. So verse 27 of Daniel 9, then he shall confirm a covenant with many 1 week. Talking about in the very beginning of the book, the period of the tribulation period, he will sign a peace pact with the nation of Israel and the nations that surround the nation of Israel. This is very important for you to remember this. He will sign a peace pact with the nation of Israel, and today all the nations that hate the nation of Israel, they will have peace together. It says that he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. So it's really confusing for a lot of people, but in the middle of the week is talking about 3.5 years or the middle of the tribulation period. At that time, he will set himself up to be worshipped in the temple. It will be the abomination of desolation. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So it speaks of a time of peace and the peace pact or the covenant. This prophecy is concerning the nation of Israel because Daniel's talking about the nation of Israel. This covenant will be with the nation and the surrounding nations. Prophetically, are we headed to this period of time at light speed? And I believe that we are. The Antichrist will be a world leader. that will reveal himself at the start of the tribulation. When you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come until the falling away comes and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, or so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the abomination of desolation. The son of perdition, the Antichrist, will be heralded as a world leader who brings peace and stability to the world. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. So we go back to the book of Revelations. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Now there was confusion in the very first parts of the years of biblical study, that when people read this, they thought that this was Jesus. Now when you look at verse 1, it says this: now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. When we see the white horse, we automatically think, oh, that's the Lord Jesus. That's when he comes back. But that's not what the scripture is telling us, because when you look at the scripture and look at what follows, look at what follows. The scripture that is referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus on the white horse is not until Revelation chapter 19. So I want you to save your place here. We're going to come right back to it. I want you to go with me to Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, and I want you to go down to verse 11. And I love to read this verse. I could read this verse all day long, this passage of Scripture. Revelation 19, verse 11. Verse 11 says this: now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Hallelujah. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We know automatically that this is Jesus, because he is the living Word of God. He is the living Logos of God. And the armies in heaven, you and me, you and me that know Jesus, you and me that has left this earth, that's been raptured, we will come back with him. Look at the illustration. And the armies in heaven clothed in fine linen, no spot, no blemish, no sin in your life, because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You will come back to defeat the adversary and all of his armies, and you won't have to do anything but watch. Jesus won't have to do anything but speak the word. As he spoke the word of this world into creation by the spoken word, he will defeat the adversary and all of his armies with him with the spoken word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that what he is should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He comes back to defeat the powers of darkness. Here, back in Revelation chapter 6, look what follows this guy. Verse 3, Revelation 6. When he opened the second seal, he heard the second living creature say, come and see. And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people shall kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard a living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil or the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and on his the name of him who sat on it was death, and hell followed with him, and the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beasts of the field. What follows this guy here, the Antichrist, is war, violence, famine, economic collapse. This is when we're talking about the period of the tribulation period. Well, you will have to take the mark of the beast to buy or sell. You don't have to worry about that today. That doesn't happen until the tribulation period. But we see many things that could be set up to do that very easily. And I don't think they're thinking about using Cash App either. You're getting a picture of what the tribulation period will look like. In the beginning, it will be a period of deceptive peace. A leader of the people inspiring peace, entering a covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. Today, let's bring it today. What's going on in the world? And I'm not one of those guys that get on YouTube and all these other shows, and they're always talking about, well, this is what's happening. This is what it is. This is what it means. I don't do that. I tell you, I am just a simple country preacher. I want people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I just preach simple messages. But today, with everything that is going on in our world and our people that want to know what's going on and why it's taking place, I think that I wanted to interact with it just a little bit. In the world that we have today, through the Abrahamic Accords, 4 Arab nations have signed a peace agreement. Now, I don't know what you think how huge that is, but that is huge. It's huge. Because when you look at Hamas, when they look at the nation of Israel, they wanted to wipe them out from the river to the sea. They wanted to annihilate them. They look upon them as less than being dogs. So when you have 4 Arab nations that are willing to sign a peace agreement with the nation of Israel, this is huge. Now we see the nation of Iran, this modern-day Persia. They shot missiles at all their neighbors. Why did they do that? Well, I believe that because they wanted to make it a worldwide conflict, because they don't care nothing about life. They wanted to draw all the other Arab nations into it against the nation of Israel and the United States. But the problem was, it backfired. It backfired, and those nations have spoken against the nation of Iran. Last week at the UN Council, there were 120 nations that voted against Iran, denouncing them for what they had done, and also for what they were doing. The only ones that didn't vote, that abstained, was Russia and China. They didn't vote for, and they did not vote against. Are we seeing prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes? If we see from the collapse of Iran, could we see regional peace in the Middle East for the very first time in thousands of years? And I believe that we can. Now let's look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we go back to Thessalonians. But we're going to 1 Thessalonians now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It will be totally unexpected. We'll be living life like we always do. It could be a Sunday afternoon, it could be a Sunday morning. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Before that peace pact is ever signed with the nation of Israel, is there going to be enough peace in this world that people are going to take their eyes off the Lord Jesus and say, look, we got peace? You know, there's people that actually believe that we're like reconstructionists. We're going to reconstruct the United States, and it's all going to be peace, and it's all going to be happiness, and it's all going to be perfect, and we're just going to hand it to Jesus when he comes. Well, that's not what the scripture says at all. But there are people that believe that. Will there be peace? And people will take their eyes off the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains against a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness. We should know this. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. Are you any surprised if the Lord Jesus Christ would come back this afternoon? It should be no shock to anybody in this room. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. The question for us today is, are we heading towards a time when the world is going to be heralding a time of peace in the Middle East as never before? I turn to Matthew chapter 16 just very briefly. In Matthew chapter 16, I think it speaks to us in this way. In verse 2, he says, and he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be weather, foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You today, that turn on channel 8 or channel 13, you know there's a storm coming. But you step out there today and you would probably recognize this is not going to be very good weather this afternoon. You know that. But you're not ready for the coming of the Lord. You do not see the times in which we live in today, that we're living in a time at any moment that the Lord could come. Can we as believers today discern the signs of the times? For 40 plus years, I'll tell you this, probably 45 now. For 40 plus years, I've been preaching the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was just as fired up about the rapture of the church 45 years ago as I am today. But I have never felt that time closer than we are today. The scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3, to an unbelieving world, it will be a shock. As a woman that is fine one moment, but she's in labor the next. And it can't be stopped. The situation cannot be changed and it cannot be reversed. She's going to have a baby. But for the saint, the return of the Lord Jesus will be no surprise. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 11, we as the saints of God are not appointed to be here during the tribulation period, because you are not appointed for a time of wrath. In verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath. The tribulation period is known as a time of wrath. And the last 3.5 years is known as a time of great wrath. Saints, we are gone from this earth. Now listen to this. In Revelation chapter 1 through 4, the church is mentioned 19 times. After that, we are not mentioned again until chapter 22. Why are we not mentioned anymore after that? Because we are not on this earth. We are home with the Lord. We are with the Lord Jesus. When it talked about in Revelation chapter 19, the armies of God coming back with Jesus to defeat the powers of darkness, that's you and me. We didn't get there unless we were taken off this earth. Will you still be here during the tribulation period? That's the question. Or will you be with the children of God in heaven? It's your choice. It's your choice. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? I turn to the very last book of the book of Revelation and close today. Like I said, I could go on all day about this, but time's at essence. In Revelation 22, we start reading for verse 12. So Revelation 22, verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The word of God is amazing. Just amazing. What the Lord tells us in his word today. None of us. Why do you think that Paul had such a passion and the disciples and the apostles had such a passion to tell other people about Jesus Christ? Because they didn't want anybody to experience what is coming. What is coming. This is something that when you talk to Christians, they feel that the time of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ is at any time. That should be a witness to all of us today. Every believer in the New Testament times believed that the Lord Jesus was going to come in their lifetime. That any moment that could take place. Is that a witness in your life that you believe that any moment, and you're living every day as if every moment, this could be the last moment that I am on this earth, I need to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ because we are going to leave this place. And they are going to be left behind. Question for you today is, are you going to be left behind? Because we don't want anybody in this room. If Jesus comes back next Saturday night, I don't want anybody showing up for church on Sunday because I'm not planning on being here.